What you're reading is the only place in the world where I might be considered vaguely tall.
I have a new memoir out. I was going to read something from it. It's really hard to pick from a full-length collection. Is that okay? And so I remember this old poem I have, which was based on the guy who my memoir was about, a guy who really struggled with drinking and drugging. To the point where it became comical. My brother called me one time from Michigan and said, "Ants on the prowl for money." And I heard, I'm like, could he be at my door? He, like, he could be. And he was. This is a poem called Take Anthony Davis. Take Anthony Davis out of the holding cell and walk him past the police desk and unwrite the paperwork and put him inside his car and return him to the bar and unpour every beer he hammered and the shot he slammed and backstep him to the bathroom to unto all the blow he stuffed up his nose with his dirty ass fingernail. Reverse him home till the game on TV is a sport not worth betting, and the child in the other room is not listening to the fight his mom and his dad have every Friday night over football. Do this again and again until the bookies and drug dealers disappear and the jobs and the money reappear, and do it again, holding on the button of remorse for years and years until the pain caused and accumulated is as small as a strip of asphalt, as small as a backboard in a hoop, as small as the ball in Anthony Davis' hand as he skies were filled with the best 2 points of his life. His mother is in the window. His father is at work. There must be a way to do this right. This is called The Worst Weed I Ever Bought. The worst weed I ever bought smelled great, didn't get me stoned, and tasted delicious in a nice tomato sauce over angel hair pasta. I'm gonna. My brother has a pretty good job, and sometimes they send him to those trainings where you like you feel ridiculous and you introduce yourself, and everyone goes around the room. He says, "Tell us something or something." Like, "Well, I have a boat, or I have a second house." And they get to him, and he says, "I like candles," and it shuts the whole fucking room down. No one knows what to do with that. I too like candles, but I also like foaming hand soap. This is called Foaming Hand Soap and Chicken Nuggets. I'd rather cry in my car than face the 18 women in line outside the Bed Bath and Beyond. Everyone deserves foaming hand soap, and a lot of us like sales, but the crowd is now 22, still all women, and the store won't open for another 20 minutes. And the line of Chick-fil-A across the Miracle Mile parking lot is as long as a train loaded with bankers leaving Western Pennsylvania for New York City. I once wrote an op-ed for the Post-Gazette, op-edding that I was against Chick-fil-A donating money to religious groups who oppose gay marriage, but that ultimately I still eat their chicken because it's delicious and inexpensive, and my kids love it, and I'm often too tired to cook. And if I quit purchasing products from companies I disagreed with, I'd have to quit shopping completely and would eventually end up naked in the streets, not wearing a watch or taking phone calls or able to climb in a car or flag down an Uber. All the gay people who ate at Chick-fil-A messaged me to say, thanks for being honest. And the other gay people, ones who didn't eat at Chick-fil-A, messaged me to call me a bigot. And other people, all straight, wanted me to apologize for being a nugget-eating loser. And other people, also straight, messaged me to explain I was going to hell for supporting gay marriage. I like clean hands, but really, when it comes to foaming soap, it's all about the variety of scents. I wish my hands always smelled like vanilla, except in the fall, when I like them to smell like pumpkin. One of the women in line is eventually going to punch another woman in the mouth, and two cops, neither women, will show up with lights flashing, and the crowd will disperse, and I'll make my move from my car to the store and buy six bottles of hand soap to get two bottles for free. These sales make for bad math, and the cashier thinks I should buy three more bottles to get an additional one for free, but I'm already eyeing the candles, which are on sale at prices I can't afford. And besides, I'm hungry for chicken nuggets, which I can't afford, which makes me think I should eat my delicious hands. I live right on the Allegheny County, Westmoreland County line, and every year I try to go to the Westmoreland County Fair, which is a hoot. This is called the Westmoreland County Fair. The barbecue stand have all closed, and the kids who sang the Broadway medley dispersed to their parents, except the teenagers who hung by the stage like a bag of glitter, their outfits still catching the afternoon sun. One booth sold blow-up hot tubs for indoor or outdoor use, and another booth sold homemade root beer. The woman selling soap said, "I just turned 90, in the spryest of voices, but looked as wrinkly as the last leaf falling from a maple tree before winter. She dyed her hair purple as an eggplant, and her soap smelled like lavender and butterscotch, except the one called Flamer Deluxe, a pink bar held in plastic wrap with fire scorched on the label and radiated the scents of cinnamon and clove. Pony rides were $5. Camel rides were $7. The fried brownies were a big hit, and so was the fried dough with powdered sugar. Near dark, the lights kicked on, and lots of people started to file out before the drinkers arrived and the rowdiness of the evening started. The ticker takers opened their rides, and the little roller coaster started rolling, and the spinny thing spun. On stage, a bunch of men with gray hair or bald as babies plugged in their instruments, and the singer, the only woman in the band, dressed in a blue evening gown with her boobs falling out, stepped to the microphone like a lover she'd like to choke into a romantic night, and started singing a song about a woman named Mustang Sally and the man who wanted to ruin all her fun." I was sick a lot as a kid, and then I did a lot of drugs when I got older. I'm not sure how those are connected exactly, but this was called my first fever. My mom said I was burning up, but I'd never been colder. When she left the room, I pulled up the blanket and dreamed of trains. What is it with sickness and how it stops time? I missed church, then a week of school. Later in life, alcohol. Later in life, heroin. I saw something beautiful as a sick child in a bedroom in Western Pennsylvania. The trains rolled along and I didn't have to board. I saw a way to travel without traveling. So it is for those of us who don't believe in heaven. My head puffed up, full as a mason jar of silk, and my body invented rivers that move through my veins. I have chased that feeling for years. Some of you made the James Wright Festival this year, which I was lucky enough to be a part of, and I was reading the biography for about 6 months today, rereading James Wright's poems, and sometimes writing my own poems or stopping to read more of his. And this is a poem he didn't write, or stop writing, I should say. So this is called "This Is for Felix Jacoby." This is for Felix Jacoby, who worked as a junk man in Martins Ferry, Ohio. James Wright, who told the world about Ohio, started a poem about Felix, then set it aside to write another poem about Verona. That's the problem with poets from Ohio. They always want to sing about the faraway places. The poem about Verona is pretty shitty at best. Another tourist taking the place out of a place so they can sing about nature and the weather. Maybe it's the curse of success, to be forced to write the poems already written, to be reminded we are hearing a real poet. I'd rather read about Wright's father, ass down in the stinky yard of Felix Jacoby. one working man with a slightly better job coming down to commune with another man, working man, to show his appreciation. Dudley Wright said about Felix, that man works hard. And James Wright wrote, work to my father is a holy thing. I hope to never see Verona or anywhere, not my home. But should I stand near a statue of Dante or trace Shakespeare, let me find a junk man to sit with and praise all his dirt. I'm gonna finish up with this poem. It's called Jacktown. I grew up in the 80s, which was could be a lot of fun. It was also a time that kids really wanted to be adults as fast as they could, and adults didn't always recognize that children were children. So sometimes there was confusion in that space. This is about that. Jacktown. This is about the time I drove to the Jacktown Hotel to meet a married woman who was 30 years older than me and taught English at the junior high I'd attended a few years before. I was 16, between girlfriends, figuring out high school. The married woman wore tight sweaters long enough to be skirts. She wore her hair piled high and sprayed to stay. In junior high, I used to walk by her classroom before the morning bell to see her outfits, to see if she'd be leaning over her desk, balanced on her elbows, swaying her hips. Once, she blew me a kiss. Now, I finished my job at the paint store, stocking cans and brushes, straightening the books of wallpaper. I climbed in my parents' car and adjusted my hard on. It was pretty exciting, being 16 and knowing you were going to bang a woman who once kissed your face off in the teacher's lounge when no one was around. I guess I was 14 then, stunned but excited. We prayed together once, something about her husband and their marriage. The prayer happened at the end of the study hall. The other kids already filed out. She said, are you religious? Because I made jokes about religion, about being religious, jokes to cover my parents' commitment to religion. I believed in God about as much as I believed in Algebra 1. I said, I go to church a lot. And she reached across her desk and guided me to sit in an old metal chair. She closed her eyes and I closed my eyes, then opened my eyes and looked at her closed eyes and her tits. We finished the prayer and she massaged my hands. Sometimes she massaged up to my elbows and worked her thumbs into my forearms like she knew the spots. I wanted to do something with my thumbs, something like she was doing, something to show what I knew. I slept with a few girls, none with hips and none dressed in high heels and tight sweater dresses. This is about the time I drove to the Jacktown Hotel in all its decrepitude, the chipping paint, the dusty drapes, and waited in the parking lot for a married woman who promised to open her bra and let me come on her tits. Sometimes I took the bus from high school back to the junior high so we could meet in the parking lot and ride around in her car and make out on a back road. She always fixed her lipstick in the rearview mirror. I liked to watch the way she dabbed with a tissue or used her nails to make a line. Where was her husband? I can't remember. I didn't care. This is about the time I waited for a married woman who tasted like cinnamon gum. This is about the time I wondered if I should pay for the room. Minutes pass like hours when you're underage and hard. I thought maybe she'd rented the room and waited for me on a double bed, fiddling with the lamp and the TV. I climbed from my car, my parents' car, and walked the parking lot looking for her grand aunt. It was a big parking lot, potholed and barely filled with broken cars. When I didn't see her grand dam, I assumed she'd been arrested. And now I was going to be arrested. I thought that's what happened to young boys and older women on Friday nights. So I drove off, nervous and scared, afraid of being arrested for being in a parking lot, waiting for an English teacher who said I could come on her tits or wherever I wanted. Maybe this has something to do with her husband. I hoped he didn't know me, that he didn't know I'd made out with his wife. or I hoped he knew me, that I'd made out with his wife. I drove until the streetlights turned from red to green, then disappeared on back roads. I'd been walking since I was a small child, made of time. I guess I would have fought her husband in the streets. I guess I would have married her for sex, then asked her to buy me a vodka from the liquor store so I could share it with my friends while we swapped stories about banging older women who wore bras made of pink and white lace. Thank you.